Paramount Pictures takes pleasure in presenting highlight scenes from one of the most fabulous love stories ever screened, Golden Earrings, starring Ray Milland and Marlena Dietrich, with Mervyn Bye, Bruce Lester, Dennis Hoy, and Quentin Reynolds. Our story begins at the Burlington Club in London during the autumn of 1946. Major General Ralph Denniston, played by Ray Milland, is standing at a window, looking out into a typical English pea soup fog, when a page boy hands him a package. In it are two golden earrings. His face lights up, excitement shines in his eyes, and within the hour, he is seated on a Paris-bound plane. Quite by accident, his seat partner on the plane is the famous war correspondent, Quentin Reynolds. Major General Denniston is leaning back in the seat, his eyes closed, but conscious of Reynolds' curiosity about a small hole pierced in the lobe of his ear.
Why don't you ask me and have it over?
What?
My ears.
Well, all right. But it is odd, you know. What I mean is, they look like they've been pierced for earrings.
Do they really? By Jove, they probably do. Well, well.
I was wondering if you'd mind talking about it.
Not at all, not at all. There's a woman in it, of course. A woman of such extraordinary accomplishments that I... Well, it all started shortly before war broke out. I was in Germany, a prisoner.
Before the war? A prisoner?
Yes, I was a lieutenant colonel then. And together with a youngster named Bird, was on a special mission. Very hush-hush, you know. We were trying to nail a poison gas formula. Something new. An appalling byproduct of Nazi frightfulness. Anyway, I don't think I was very good because the blighters knocked us off like a couple of sitting pheasants. And we were being held for questioning, Bird and I, in a farmhouse not very far from Weimar. One way and another, we were in a pretty tight spot. Anyhow, we'd planned to escape, and this was the night. This was it. Wasn't much of a plan. Odds against it coming off were about 1,000 to 1. I didn't know about Bird, but personally I was scared stiff.
I don't know about you, but personally, I'm in an absolute sweat. Positively trickling, sir.
Well, here we go.
It's jolly well hope only one of them comes up.
More than one, we are sunk.
Having made their escape in stolen German uniforms, the two men separated, agreeing to meet later at Eschbach. The colonel, quietly slipping through the woods, came to a riverbank. The bundle in his hand is obviously the stolen German uniform, for he is now wearing a ragged shirt and trousers. Just as he is about to scuttle the package in the river, he hears a woman's voice. Quickly reaching for his Luger, he crawls stealthily toward the direction of the voice.
In there, it is very damp. I have good fire here. And stew. You are hungry.
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, I am very. Wonder would you sell me some of that, whatever it is.
Sit down.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I make good fish, too.
It looks excellent. Onions and potatoes.
And garlic and barley and mushrooms. Plenty of fine, fat fish. Stop watching. There's nobody. You're safe here. Quite safe. You look like a military man. Eat. It is good.
Thank you.
Better you put that coat on, Liebling.
Coat? Thank you. I'm not cold.
I know it is a military coat. And there's also a good pair of trousers, too. Huh? And you were going to throw into the river that bundle. You must never throw away things that are worth good money. German uniform. You're not German. You're English. Huh?
Madam, you're drawing some very dangerous conclusions.
That man you kill. You look in his mouth? You should. Sometimes these Germans have gold in their teeth. You are the colonel, huh? They catch the other one, your friend? Oh, Liebling, Liebling, you must not kill me, not with that. The patrols would hear, they would come.
How did you find out about me and the escape and the rest of it?
They know it in the town. They're searching the forest and the lake. That is right.
What's right?
What you were thinking. That it would be safer to travel with me.
As a matter of fact, I... How did you know what I was thinking?
We could travel by day. Back lanes. Gypsy lanes. They are not watched. How far you think you'll go in these German officers' boots, huh?
I do wish you'd stop reading my
mind. They always look at your feet.
So frightfully disconcerting, like being found without one's trousers. You didn't tell me your name.
Liddy.
Liddy? If you don't mind, I think I'll call you Lydia.
Lydia? That is nice. Tomorrow, I have a wonderful coat for you. Fine blue and yellow gypsy coat. And boots. And razor. Razor belonged to my second husband.
Thank you. Your husband? Where is he?
He killed a guard, see? They hang him.
Good. I mean, poor fellow. Did he have any papers?
Papers?
Yes, you know, identification card or whatever I'd need if I took his place in name only.
No. No papers. They take them. But I have his clothes.
Clothes? Lydia, do you think you could make me into a gypsy?
What idea? What cleverness. Huh. And in a gadzi. Oh, my, this. I can make gypsy out of log of wood. Oh, and you're not log of wood.
What is that mumbo jumbo?
Stain. To make your white skin gypsy. And in your ears, I put holes. Little holes.
Holes?
Yes. For my husband's beautiful gold earrings. When I finish, you even smell like gypsy.
Now look here, old girl. Let's not overdo this.
From that moment on, the colonel became a gypsy. His skin darkened, two gold earrings in his pierced ears. Slowly, after meeting with a caravan of gypsies, they made their way toward Eschbach to meet young Bird. Danger of discovery lurked everywhere, and there were many close calls along the route. After the meeting with Bird, who was disguised as a bicyclist, the two again parted. Bird to go into the town and contact Professor Krosigk, and the colonel to wait impatiently at the gypsy camp for his return.
There are no wings on bicycles, Liebling. And that man, this Krosigk, where he lives, is good 5 miles. Give to your friend time. Give to him time.
You know, Lydia, I used to be a rationalist.
What is that?
Well, it's sort of believing only in what you see or hear or feel. Lately, I've begun to suspect that there are more things in heaven and earth than I ever dreamed in my philosophy.
You learn much when you learn that.
You know, you never did tell my fortune.
You get back to your country, safe.
You still know what I'm thinking.
You are easy, Liebling. Very easy.
What else?
You will be famous. And you'll never go hungry, except in your heart.
What else?
You have been in danger of death 3 times.
I can go on from there myself. You're thinking I'll be leaving you soon.
How you know?
You're easy, Liebling. Very easy. Lydia, afterwards, I mean when I'm gone, would you go back to Sultan?
Would that make you unhappy?
Yes. Yes, it would, very.
Oh, what would Zoltan want of a woman whose heart is stone? See? Already it is growing cold.
Oh, Lydia, I want you to know that in these last few days I've been very happy. Happier than I thought it possible to be. And that's very odd because they've been days of danger and uncertainty. I don't suppose I'd begun to realize it until... until now that my time with you has almost run out. You are the most wonderful person I ever met. Your generosity and your warmth and affection. And your loyalty and devotion, the way you spill over with it. It's made me feel very good. And very secure. And very inadequate.
Oh, you not know your sweetness. You say something. Maybe it is your head you turn. Smile at me. And then there's beauty in you like water in sun. And it make my heart pour down into me. Till I love you so. More than I can bear. Oh,
leave me.
And that's just a small portion of one of the wildest adventure love stories ever filmed. Marlene Dietrich plunges Ray Milland into a fantastic series of escapades that, well, we can't tell you anymore because we don't want to spoil the many surprises you've got coming when you see Ray Milland and Marlene Dietrich in Paramount's blazing gypsy love story, Golden Earrings.